I blew off a date once. I was making pumpkin cookies with brown butter icing, and he was buying Chinese. What's better, sex or homemade cookies? Clearly the cookies. Hello and welcome back to the Morbid Homemakers podcast. My name's Brian, and today we're talking about a very serious topic, and it's foodborne illnesses and ways to prevent it. And it's pretty much just making sure that refrigerator is pristine and clean, and it's a surface that's clean enough you'd eat off of it, because believe it or not, we pretty much do. And foodborne illnesses occur all the time in a lot of places around the country, and especially around the world. Now, the United States is, I have some issues with our food system and our FDA and how they don't regulate certain things, but when you look at the broad scale of food safety around the world, we are the cleanest and we have the most safe standards compared to other places. Europe's also a very clean place to get your food from. But foodborne illnesses happen, and they actually are responsible for 128,000 hospitalizations every year, as well as 3,000 deaths, and that's in this country alone. And it's such an easy thing to prevent, and really knowing where your food comes from, it's something I preach, something I swear you all should live by. Really having an idea of where that food is sourced from, where it's coming from, and having an idea of how it was grown, how it was raised. You don't want to eat something that's like a mystery food. It's like that mystery meal that you dreaded at lunchtime. Well, that's pretty much how the food industry is. You don't know where it was raised, and you don't know how it was raised. You don't want medications your chicken or beef was given and what it wasn't given. And, you know, some major foodborne illnesses are things like salmonella and listeria. Of course, we all are very familiar with the recent cantaloupe and listeria outbreak and that. And that, actually, listeria can cause meningitis and also stillbirths. And it's a very the Campylobacter can cause a very debilitating disease, and that's the Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it's just an unfortunate thing that can be prevented, and it's no excuse for having foodborne illnesses in this country. And the most key way to prevent it from happening is having proper refrigeration. And if you ever had, I know we had a lot of people get sick right after Irene hit, with sort of like mild foodborne illness type, you know, things. And that's pretty much from not having proper refrigeration. If things sit at room temperature for more than 2 hours, they are dangerous to eat. And some things that I get really annoyed with, I know we got the turkey season coming up, and so many people do this, and it's so concerning because you don't know where your turkey came from. You don't know where it was raised, and if you do, good. But I mean, a lot of people just get the standard turkey, and they're not raised in the most to be desired conditions. And a lot of people, when they go to defrost their turkey, they don't defrost it in the fridge. And that's mistake number one. If you are buying a frozen turkey, you always want to just give yourself the extra time and defrost your bird in the refrigerator. And even if you have a frozen chicken or frozen Cornish game hens or anything, always defrost your stuff in the fridge and never at room temperature. The same thing goes with marinating. And a lot of people marinate chicken breasts and stuff, and they think it's acceptable to have it out on the counter, and it's not. You need to also marinate everything in the fridge. I put all my things in a glass bottom baking dish. That way, the acidity does not impart, you know, I don't want to use a metal baking pan because that could impart some acidity, and it sometimes causes a reaction with the marinade that I'm using. So I always marinate all of my things in a glass bottom baking dish, and I always marinate it in the refrigerator. And if you want to find out more statistics on fighting bacteria and making sure that you are doing all the proper steps to prevent foodborne illnesses, go to www.fightback.org. That's FIGHTBAC.org. And now time for cleaning out that crusty fridge. It's not always the best thing to do, but good rule of thumb, give it a deep clean every 6 months, if even that. I do deep clean mine every season, so that's 4 times a year. And then I clean it usually like another room of the house, so like a bathroom or something that gets a lot of use. A good rule of thumb, you know, if there's 4 people living in a home, you vacuum your house 4 times a week. That's what the people with OCD and major neuroses do, but that's also what a lot of the cleaning experts suggest you do. I'm a little bit more realistic. I work a lot, so as I'm sure most of you guys do as well. And So just clean it like you would everything else. And the best thing to do, stay away from commercial cleaners. I'm not going to mention brands, and I'm not going to say you should stick with certain brands. What I am going to say, just like I do with everything else, make it yourself. It's a do-it-yourself project, just like anything else is. Baking, cooking, cleaning. Cleaning is a homemade project as well. And there's two really easy recipes I'm going to give you. So if you have some really crusty shelving in your refrigerator, what you want to do first off, right? Let's just pretend we just opened up a fridge and it like looks like we've been storing dead bodies in there for the past, I don't know, 2 years. Anyway, so we take all the body parts out. No, I'm kidding. We take everything out of the fridge. And, do it when you just haven't gone grocery shopping. Preferably do it before if you're going to give it a deep, deep clean. Like when things are really getting low and you're going to have to restock soon. It's a good time to make a mental list of what you want. It's also a good time to take everything out. Look at your expiration dates. If it's past its prime, I don't care. If you think it's an old wives' tale that eggs will last past the due date, throw them out. Unless you're going to use them for some kind of craft, poke the little holes in the top or the bottom and blow out the eggs, but do not use the contents of the egg itself. They are not good for you, and you are really risking your health by doing this. Same thing with dairy products. Disgusting and a terrible habit, and I disagree with it wholeheartedly. Any kind of condiment as well. Disgusting. You shouldn't have condiments, period, unless you're going to make it yourself. But preservatives are enemy number one. High fructose corn syrup, that's a duh thing. You should not have anything in your refrigerator with high fructose corn syrup. And if you do, throw it out. When you go grocery shopping, look on your ingredients list. If you can't pronounce things, don't buy it. It's that simple. You don't want things like that feeding your family, and you don't want things like that rotting around in your body. So take everything out of the fridge. Have some coolers if this is a project and you know you're going to be doing this a while. Have some coolers ready with some ice. It's a very inexpensive cost to you. It's a one-time thing. Because after you really give it a deep clean and you clean it regularly, it's not like you have to give it a deep clean every 6 months. The deep clean is actually pretty easy. So take everything out, put it in storage units. If you have another refrigerator, put your things in there that can't sit out for long periods of time. And all right, so after we have everything separated, and make sure that things stay separated, don't cross-contaminate. That's another big no-no with foodborne illnesses. You don't want to have your meat laying next to your vegetables. Even if they are in the packages, it's just a bad habit, and get out of it. So anyway, we have everything out of the refrigerator, and we have some shelving. Now, the shelving is looking a little cloudy. It's looking a little jaded. May look a little filmy and disgusting. So what we want to do is we're gonna use a hardcore cleaner. This is my recipe for a glass cleaner. It's sort of like a universal recipe for a really good glass cleaner. People complain about they always have streaks in their mirrors. It's because they're not using this recipe. And it's a half cup of organic distilled white vinegar. Okay, Heinz makes a really good one. You can find it. Do not use apple cider. It's not the same. Use the white vinegar. Okay, and make sure it's organic and distilled. And then it's half distilled white vinegar and then half distilled water. And you have to buy that bottle. Do not use tap water. Do not use spring water. Use distilled water. Okay. So it's a little bit of money to make this, and you can do a half a cup to a half a cup. You can do 1 cup vinegar, 1 cup water. Just make sure they're half and half portions. All right. So it's going to smell like vinegar, obviously, but it's a clean scent and it doesn't linger. I mean, it might be there for an hour or two, but it will go away. It's not going to permeate your food. You're fine to use it. It's really good. It's a very acidic cleaner. It sort of tears up that grease and stuff. Another good thing you can do, and I sometimes like do some, like I'll spray this if I have a spill it like set, and it got a little hard or whatever, and then I'll use this too because it does sort of cut the grease a little bit. And that's my AP cleaner, all-purpose cleaner. It's 2 teaspoons of dish soap to 24 ounces of distilled water again. And use a pH-neutral dish soap. Do not use something with a tint or color. Use the Ivory dish soap. That's a really good one. Any kind of unscented dish soap with a mild pH, so like a 7 pH, that's a really good something you want to keep in mind. So Ivory, I think, is the best. You can get that at the dollar store. You can get it at Walmart, anywhere, any grocery store. Anybody has Ivory dish soap. So use that. And put them in spray bottles, and you get a P-Touch labeler, or you can write on them with a marker or a label or whatever, and make sure you label which is which. And don't get them confused. Anyway, spray that down. I don't advertise paper toweling, but this is a good project to use that on. Paper towels are very efficacious in the refrigerator, as well as you can find those microfiber cloths by, they come in packs and they're you can launder them. So these are good things to kind of keep in mind. The microfiber, like I said, they're reusable. They're a very good thing to use around the kitchen. For a hardcore clean, I'd probably use the paper towels. So you want to wipe everything down and take out those drawers that are in there. This is a deep clean. This is not just an everyday clean. Take out the drawers, clean behind there. Make sure that there's no crud or any kind of thing, anything back there behind. Wipe down all the sides. Wipe pretty much top to bottom. We're talking shelvings. We're talking brackets. We're talking drawers. Everything. Anything. The refrigerator should be completely empty. And I want everything wiped down, okay? And don't half-ass it. Go all the way at it. Make sure it's very, very pristine and clean. It's a surface that you feel comfortable that your food's going to be sitting in there for an amount of time until you use it, of course. So after that's done, you want to put everything back and make sure that what you are putting back is put back properly. Do not cross-contaminate things, as I've said before. Make sure that the crisper drawer is only used for things like spinach and your vegetables. Make sure that you have, if you do have a meat drawer, that you are keeping all your meats in there, no produce. Dairy, same thing with that. You don't want to really mix and match. It's not a good habit to practice, and it's not something that we want to advocate. So another thing to keep in mind, too, is I go to the grocery store as needed. Some people that I in my family, they will go, you know, most families go once a week and they get the food that they need for the 5-day period, but things aren't at their peak freshness when they do that. So what we want to do is go make sure that we're making daily trips to the grocery store. Don't go really when you're hungry, but go, you know, shop for the next day, plan your day ahead, set little goals for yourself. I'm going to bake this tomorrow. I'm going to cook this tomorrow. I'm going to prepare this for my lunch tomorrow, or whatever. And, make sure that you are keeping those little lists of what you have in your pantry, what you have in your refrigerator, and, and make lists of what you need. When you are putting things back in the refrigerator, also kind of keep a little inventory of things that are about to go bad. Maybe a month or two down the road, maybe a week down the road, maybe in a couple days even. And the biggest rule of thumb, when in doubt, throw it out. Do not risk copays. Don't risk pricey prescriptions. Don't risk your health. Don't risk the health of your family. When in doubt of things that look funky or crusty or whatever, throw it out. If it has a funky smell to it and you think, oh, this is all right, no, throw it out. It's not worth it. So I do that. And I also think that, you know, this is sort of a hand in hand with your pantry. This is a good time to go through your pantry and look for things that have passed their prime. If the pasta has bugs in it, throw that out. You don't need that. If the baking soda is longer than 30 days out and open, throw it out. Baking powder, same thing. If you are doing a lot of baking, and this is the time for the holidays, you need to make sure that you are getting rid of these staples that aren't really good for you. Anyway, with that said, this has been Cleaning Out Your Refrigerator 101, and Foodborne Illnesses 101 is. I hope it taught you guys something new about the foodborne illness crisis that we have been dealing with in this country for a couple years. And I also think that it's taught you a thing or two. I hope that it's taught you a thing or two about making sure that your fridge is immaculately clean and that you can rest easy knowing that your home is a clean, safe, healthy, and a happy one. And with that said, I'll see you guys next week when we talk all about bulbs. Not your light bulbs, but fall bulbs. We're going to be planting out in the garden. I've been planting crazily. It's a frenzy this time of the year in the garden as well as in the house. And we're kind of getting things prepared for the holidays. We're getting things prepared for the winter. So it's a bulb planting frenzy here. We won't discuss numbers now, but we will talk about how much I planted this year on next week's episode. So tune in for that, guys, and have a wonderful week. I told you I was trouble.